I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for being with us. Harvest is a place where you're always welcome, and we want you to feel that. In fact, we hope that as you come, that you feel like you're part of the family, right? From the moment that you walk on campus and you walk in this building. As you're around, if you notice a glow kind of around campus or around the service this morning, it might be my wife. Last night, our Bangkok kids surprised us, bringing our two granddaughters with them. About 10:30 at night, we had a knock on our door, and our kids showed up. We didn't know they were going to see them for Christmas. And so Faith's kind of floating around, walking on air. You'll know that, carrying a couple of babies, a couple of little girls. So we haven't seen them for 2 years. I know a lot of us haven't seen family for a while. So we're so glad that they're here. We've got a couple other kids coming in this week. And it's going to be a party at the Waltons' house. I want to read this morning from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following says this about the Christmas story. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. There's a fascinating story, a fascinating contrast in the story of Jesus. Everything about his birth and everything about his life and his death is humble and lowly. And yet at the same time, his story is also royal and exalted. This is the conflict of contrasts. Jesus was a king who was born in a manger. His birth really could not have been more humble. I mean, he wasn't born in a palace like where a king would normally be born. They didn't even have room for him in the inn. They found a stable back behind the inn in a little manger, a little place where they would have fed the cattle that were there. And this is the place that they laid the little baby Jesus. It couldn't be more humble. And he was welcomed by humble parents. Joseph was a carpenter. Mary was just together. They were just commoners. Not prestigious. Not upper class. And he was welcomed by animals. And not even exotic animals. The ancient Greek and Roman royals were famous for their exotic pets. You can go back in history and look at paintings and drawings of the palaces of ancient Greece and Rome, and you'll find a lot of these exotic pets. You'll find monkeys and apes and exotic birds and lions, even giraffes. You'll find old pictures of giraffes that were sort of part of the palace grounds. That wasn't Jesus. There's maybe some sheep. I don't know if you've hung around sheep that much, but they're not that cool. They're kind of stinky and smelly and dirty. I'm probably an oxen or two, and again, they were working animals. They spent their time in the mud and in the dust, and they would have just had sort of a dirty stall that oxen may have stayed in. Donkey, maybe. Not a horse. A horse would have been for the royals. But, you know, that's not Jesus. So maybe a donkey and definitely chickens. I'm sure there were a lot of chickens around. And then the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds that welcomed his birth were the lowliest of all of the occupations of this time. I mean, they spent all their time hanging around with those dirty, smelly sheep. They were out in the fields and out in the pastures. It was a lowly, humble birth. But there's this contrast, right? We know with all of the announcements of Jesus' birth, they were not humble, they were royal. And that's kind of the jarring contrast, right? All of this humility, but at the same time, these shepherds that were so humble were jolted awake by angels. And Luke chapter 2 tells this story. I mean, first of all, it was one angel, and that must have been overwhelming enough. The angel of God was speaking the message of the new birth. But then he was surrounded by a multitude of the heavenly hosts. You try to imagine that scene. Hosts is a word that has sort of a military or a army or troop context. It's kind of the idea that the troops, the angels, the troops were lined up wave after wave as far as you could see in formation. Can you picture that all across the starry sky? I mean, just angels lined up just as far as you could see. A multitude of the heavenly hosts. I don't know anybody else's birth that was celebrated like that. I mean, Faith and I had 5 kids. We thought they were pretty great. We announced their birth, but you know, ain't none of our kids got angels that were telling about their birth. And this is what Jesus had. This multitude of the heavenly hosts. And then the wise men. They came from the east. This is how royalty was welcomed to the earth. The men, the leaders of around the world would come and pay homage. And that's what they did. They came from afar and they're bearing gifts, just like would happen with any royal. And when they found him, they lay down at his feet the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, and they worshiped him. The baby in the manger, the wise men kneeled down and worshiped. Why did they do this? Listen, because he is the king. The angel's words to Mary that we just read in Luke chapter 1 was that he shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. He was the king. The prophet Zechariah and Zechariah 9:9 in the Old Testament said this. He said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, and he is lowly and riding upon a donkey. And he shall speak peace unto the nations." That's what he's going to come to do. "And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even unto the ends of the earth." Listen, do not lose sight of this. In all of the holiness and the humility and the manger and the stable, do not lose sight of the fact that Jesus is the King. He is the King. And today, as we stand here and as we sit here in this place, he is on his throne in the throne of heaven, and he is the king over all eternity. And the next time he appears, the Bible says, in the book of Revelation chapter 19, the next time he appears, he will not come as a lowly baby in a lowly manger. He is going to come as a conquering king riding on a horse, a white stallion. And his eyes, the Revelation 19 says, his eyes are going to be like flames of fire, and out of his mouth is going to come a sword, and he's going to have on a vesture, and on that vesture is going to be written and then planted on his thigh, "He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. This is our King, and He came to stay in a manger." And Zechariah said that this king will proclaim peace to the nations. And the angels that were about his first coming said this: he's going to bring peace and goodwill on earth to all men. There's this, in fact, really this is the one main point that I want to say from this text. There's this important connection in the Scriptures between the kingship of Jesus and the kingdom of peace. Or I'd say it this way: Jesus has come to bring peace, but it is peace for those who will make Him king. Don't miss this. It's a critical piece. He's come to bring peace, and it's directly connected with His kingship. Right, that's the connection. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. Is He your King? Have you submitted yourself? Have you surrendered yourself to the Lordship and the rulership and the kingship of Jesus? Or have you been struggling and stumbling and trying to run your own life, and trying to make your own decisions, and trying to chart your own life direction? And if I could give you a follow-up question, it's related to the first one: is He your King? And the follow-up, really to help you to know whether He's your King, is this: have you found peace hard to come by? And boy, we lived in a mixed up world, don't we? Full of anxiety and fear. And man, it is absolutely connected with who is ruling your life. Peace that you may or may not feel is absolutely connected with who is ruling your life and who you are listening to. One of the greatest conflicts and confusions of life is this idea that me doing me is going to get me what I want. No, it's not. It's just not. I mean, you might get what you want, but it'll be short-lived. It'll be so short-lived. I talk to people all the time, and they're sure that they did their thing. And some people very specifically kind of rejected God at some point in their lives, and they've kind of made their own decisions and go their own path. And you know where that ends? It ends in no peace. Every time. Every single time. I've never talked to anybody that said, "You know what? When I was 18, I just kind of took my own path. And boy, that was just the best decision that I ever made. I have had so much peace in my life." I've never talked to one person who said that. See, here's the thing. We want peace in our life. We just don't want the King. We don't want to submit ourselves to His leading and His direction. Listen to me. According to the Scriptures, that on that starry Christmas morning, it was a baby in the manger, but on that morning the King came. And He set up His kingdom on that time. And listen, I want you to know that Jesus is on His throne and He is sovereignly ruling over all the affairs of this world. The question that is for you and the question that is for me is, are we going to align ourselves with His kingdom and with His kingship? Or are we going to continue to operate as her own ruler. It's sort of the idea if you decided you're going to leave here this morning and you're going to get in your car and you're going to drive over to the UOG, to the University of Guam. You're going to take this little trip over to Manila, and as you get in your car, you're like, you know what? I'm tired of all these car rules, these road rules. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to be me. And so you take off out of the, you know, off campus, out of the parking lot, and you drive on the wrong side of the road because you're going to do your thing. And you come up to the stoplight and you decide, hey, listen, I'm going to stop on green and I'm going to go on red. And I'm going to turn when I want to. I mean, I'm going to do me. I'm tired of all this stuff. It's going to take you like 5 seconds before you find out that life doesn't work that way and you end up crashed along the side of the road. Why? Because there is a world order. There's kind of these rules for driving on our roads. And it doesn't matter whether you're going to do you and whether you're going to be yourself. There is this world Guam traffic situation where you need to go along with how it's meant. It doesn't matter what you determine to do. Listen, we live in a world where Jesus is king. And he's established in our world right and wrong and choices and good choices and moral choices. And we have the opportunity to come alongside and see and understand and follow his rulership. Or we're going to take our own path and find out that we've got accidents alongside of the road. We're in a car wreck, and man, there's so many people that's their life, right? Car wreck after car wreck after car wreck. But when we submit ourselves to Jesus as King, He gives the kind of peace with His will and His plan for our lives so that no matter what comes your way, there will be that moment when you should be all terrified and it feels like everything's all messed up, and there will be this, instead of that terrified sense, there will be this quietness there, because you're totally connected with surrendering to the kingship of Jesus in your life. So here's the big idea: Jesus is King. And His kingship is connected with His promise of peace. And the question this morning is this: is He your King? So when you start to give yourself over to those anxious thoughts, and you're worried about what is going to happen here, or how this is going to play itself out, or how this is going to happen, or how that's going to happen, and what am I going to do if this happens, and what am I going to do if that happens, and all of those anxiousness starts growing up, and that angst that starts coming a part of our life and of our personality. Listen, this is the place where we come to the spot and we say, Jesus is on His throne, and if I can live responsibly and obey His will for my life, and I'm just going to trust King Jesus, then there is peace there. And when you feel abandoned by God, like God has forgotten you, I want to remind you this morning, no, God's promises are true, and He is on His throne, and there's nothing that is happening in this world that He does not know. And when you have to say no to your desires, and you have to say yes to the discipline of living according to God's way, listen, this is the place where we're able to say this is okay. Because this is the way to life. This is the way to peace. I'm going to ask the guys if they'd come with the guitars. Here's the deal, you guys. I wonder if so much of the anxiousness of life, I wonder if a lot of it is our restlessness. And I wonder if that restlessness isn't somehow tied to wanting the kingdom of peace without the King of peace. We want all the benefits of the spiritual life in Christ without actually surrendering to his kingship? That's my question for you this morning. Is he your king? Is he your king? Would you bow your heads with me? I want to take just a minute, draw our hearts to just think for a second before we're going to pray and be dismissed. I wonder if there might be some that would say, man, if I'm honest with myself, I'm in a season where peace has been really hard to come by. A lot of anxiousness in my life right now. Maybe sleep has been hard to come by. You struggled with some fears, and maybe some of them rational, some of them irrational. This morning you'd say, boy, I've had a hard time finding the peace that passes all understanding. And I sense that, and I connect it this morning with the rulership of the King in my life, but I know that I'm struggling with peace, and I just need prayer. I know that. I'd be willing to lift up my hand and say, Pastor Gary, would you pray for me about this? I know that I'm struggling in this peace here. Would you just lift up your hand and put it down? Nobody's looking around. Just lift it for a second and put it down. And I wish I could tell those of you that have raised your hand this morning, and many maybe that didn't. I wish I could tell you how you are not alone this morning. This peace thing is hitting a lot of people hard and heavy. And I think that you're here this morning for a very specific reason. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the peace that Christ has come to give, God just wants to pour that out on you this morning. And so as you look at your heart and as you kind of evaluate this tenseness and this tension, this apprehension, this no peace, maybe you could identify that fear or that worry or maybe that sin or that thing that you're angry about. Could you just, I mean, as clearly as you can you just kind of identify it and sort of name it in your mind and pull it out, put it in your hands? And then, as I give you a minute to pray, I want to encourage you just to take that thing, whatever that tense piece is, whatever you've named as the Holy Spirit has kind of convicted and helped your heart, would you just take that piece and that thing and this morning just lay it, I mean, symbolically with everything that you can, could you just kind of lay it at the feet of Jesus this morning? That worry, that anger, that fear, would you just lay it down before him and ask him for peace? And it might be that the peace that you're waiting for is connected with your surrender, with the kingship of Jesus in your life. And if that's the case, my friend, my brother, my sister, can I encourage you to surrender that life, your life, to Jesus, your King, today? He rules it all anyway. There's going to be a time, a point in time in all of our lives when we're going to see him as the King. He's going to come and every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. I'm going to encourage you to lay down your life before your King today. I wonder if there might be some that would say, man, Pastor Gary, I need to make Jesus the King of my life. I've been doing my own thing and that just led to disaster. Maybe you might be willing to lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I need to give my life to the King. I'd like to ask you to pray for me. Would you just do that before we close? Our Father, we're so thankful for the expression of the story of Christmas. And we thank you for the story of Mary and the reminder that you are the King. You rule all. I pray this morning there'd be some that would put you back in the rightful place of kingship and rulership of their life. And in exchange, Father, would you give the peace that passes all understanding? Would you give that to those who are waiting in anxiousness and worry, fretting and anger? Lord, would you give them peace that no one could understand as they submit, surrender our lives to you? In Jesus' name we pray.